You are listening to a recording from the ICGC Accra South Omega Generation Youth Camp, themed Nothing Lost, Nothing Wasted. We hope you are blessed by this life-transforming message. Ministering now is Reverend Edwin Ejay. How could I ever
fill us and take your place. Fill us. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us, Holy Spirit. Fill us and take your place.
Till we overflow. lift your voice, sing Spirit. Saturate us right now, Spirit. Overflow in this place and fill our hearts with your love. Your love surrounds me. You're the reason we came to encounter your love. Your love surrounds me. Overflow in this place. Fill our hearts with you.
Oh. This year, through the leadership of Uncle Bijou, we introduced a new segment that focuses on basic Christian disciplines. Basic Christian disciplines. Uncle Bijou was saying not long ago that we desire the anointing and all of that, the move of God, the power of God, but as Christians, that's not the only aspect, it's just one aspect of it. We want the oil most of the time, but the oil does not function by itself. The oil does not stand on its own. You need the oil and the lamp. Someone say the oil and the lamp. Because the at the end of the day, what we are looking for is for a light to shine. Hallelujah. And so the oil is necessary, but we need to put the oil in the lamp, channel it through a system to give light. Amen. And so tonight, one of the things we'll be doing is that we'll be looking at one of the basic Christian disciplines that we need for the spiritual formation of the believer. Now, when we talk about basic Christian disciplines, there are a number of them. These are things that we do as believers that keep us going, that keep us growing, that causes us to be more and more like Jesus Christ in character and in charisma. All right, in bearing the fruit of the Spirit and in exhibiting the gift of the Spirit. And so we have spiritual disciplines like Bible study, we have prayer, we have fasting, we have quiet time, we have how to hear the voice of God, and so on and so forth. All of these are quite interesting, and they demand proper teaching. We can't do all of them in one camp. So today we'll be focusing on one of them. Subsequently, when God permits and gives us the chance and opportunity, we'll focus on others. How to hear the voice of God. What is prayer? How to really pray. And so on and so forth. And tonight, we'll be focusing on quiet time. Quiet time. I believe many of us have heard quiet time before, and some of us practice quiet time, but we want to really understand what it means and how to go about it. And tonight, when I finish, I'm going to give you the chance to ask three questions. I hope three questions will be enough. I'll give you the chance to ask three questions depending on our time. All right, and then I'll just pray generally for some people, and then we'll move on to the next segment. Amen. Quiet time. Ask your neighbor, did you have your quiet time today? Demand an answer. Let's be truthful. Many of us didn't have our quiet time. And ask them, when was the last time you had your quiet time? How did you go about it? Hallelujah. All right, so quiet time. We are going to look at a number of passages in the scriptures, and then we'll move on to our discussion. So can you please show the PowerPoint for me? We'll be reading Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Then we'll move on to James chapter 1 verse 25. James chapter 1 verse 25. Now we'll be reading all these passages in NKJV and some of them NIV. So where we'll read NIV, I'll indicate. And then we'll read Mark chapter 1, verse 35 in the New King James Version. Mark 1:35. But read the same Mark 1:35 also in the NIV, the New International Version. Then Luke chapter 5, verse 16. Luke chapter 5, verse 16, also in the New King James Version and then in the NIV. Okay, so let me start from Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. And I want you to take particular note of the passages that we are reading. I know you are tired, you're exhausted, but please make sure you are actively listening and be each other's keeper. If somebody is going under the influence, just nudge them a little. You know the influence I'm talking about. The influence of exhaustion. Just nudge them a little. All right, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Amen. Joshua 1:25, New King James Version. Sorry, James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Amen. Mark 1:35. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. Amen. He's talking about Jesus. When you read a new international version, he says, very early in the morning, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Luke 5:16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. He himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. And then NIV. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. The first question we want to ask is, what is quiet time? Quiet time is a personal, regular time of fellowship with God through worship, Bible study, and prayer. Can we have the PowerPoint up? Quiet time is a personal time, personal regular time of fellowship with God through worship, Bible study, and prayer. And I'm going to break the major segments of this definition down and explain so that we get the gist of it, what it actually means. And so I'll talk about features of quiet time. We said quiet time is a personal, regular time of fellowship with God through worship, Bible study, and prayer. So the first thing we want to look at is quiet time being personal. What does it mean? It means it's a private activity. It's a personal event. The Bible, the passages we read, some says Jesus went out. Others says he left the house. Others says he departed to a solitary place. Other places says he withdrew into the wilderness or solitary place. In other places says he went to lonely places. Place that he will be alone. So quiet time is a time that we have alone with God. It is personal. I know that sometimes you have family devotion with your family, with your mother and father, with your siblings. Sometimes it is a Bible study group and so on and so forth. That is all okay and it's all relevant and good. But that cannot be classified as quiet time, because quiet time must be personal. Sometimes you ask people, have you done your quiet time? You say, hey, yes. Oh, okay, when did you do it? And what happened? He said, when I woke up, they were praying on the radio and I pray with them. So I've done my quiet time. Have you said some before? Some say, I joined Alpha Hour. I shared a link. Some say, I prayed with Pastor Jerry. So I've done my quiet time. All of that is good. But that is never quiet time, because quiet time must be personal. It is private. It is you and your God. Someone say, me and my God. There were times that Jesus and his people came before God. There were times that Jesus would say, I'm going to pray. I can't accompany me to go and pray. But there were times when Jesus went to God alone. You must learn to go to God alone. When it comes to quiet time, it's about going to God alone. Someone say, me and God alone. I'll put you in front of my melody. It says, I'll make room for how many people? You and I, Jesus, you are all that my... Oh, we are not singing, don't worry. Thank you. Quiet time is where you make room for just the two of you, you and God. You go on a date. And you understand that language. I said date, you're excited. Hallelujah. So it's supposed to be personal. Number two, we said it's not just personal, it's also regular. What does it mean for it to be regular? It means that it must be a daily practice. It must be a daily practice, something we do every day, just like you eat every day. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone. So you live by on bread every day. It says, but by every word. So there's another dimension to life that you must feed on every single day. When you go back to the passages we read, you see in places the Bible says he often withdrew. Often. It wasn't something that he did sporadically. It wasn't something that he did spontaneously. It wasn't something that he did at the spur of the moment. It was something that he did consistently. He often withdrew. And when you look at Joshua 1:8, it says, you shall meditate in it day and night. That speaks of consistency, daily practice, day and night. Again, it says, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it. So in doing your quiet time, it's not something you do once in a while or sporadically. It's something that you engage consistently every day. I mean, just imagine someone who says that, Charlie, I want to get some abs, you know, and some six packs so that when I wear my shirt, you know, they will know that I'm the one coming. I want to be fit. I want to be healthy, so I want to hit the gym. But this person only goes to the gym as and when the spirit leaves. As and when they feel like. We'll go to the gym on Wednesday. The next time we'll go to the gym is 3 weeks' time. On Friday. What do you think is going to happen to that person? It's the same when it comes to the spiritual activity of quiet time. You cannot do it sporadically. From the passages we have read, what you realize is that it's something that you do consistently. It must be regular. Someone say it must be regular. When we were growing up in Sunday school, and I'm sure all of us have been through Sunday school before, we used to sing this song. Read your Bible, pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. If you want to. If you want to. If you want to grow, hallelujah, read your Bible, pray every day if you want to. The reason we sing that song is that we are trying to say that having a personal encounter with God, it must be a Christian discipline that we do every day. It's something that we must do every day. Hallelujah. Then number three, we said, it is a time of fellowship with God. It means that the focus must be on God. What we give to God and what we receive from Him. So these are the features of quiet time. Now let's talk about what to do during your quiet time. What do you do during your quiet time? What do you do during your quiet time? We said it's a personal, regular time of fellowship with God through worship, Bible study, and prayer. So what you do during your quiet time, number one is worship. In what manner, in what way do you approach God? Matthew chapter 6 verse 9, Jesus tells us that in this manner therefore pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. In this manner means this is the approach you use. This is the protocol when you want to come before God. You approach God by giving him honor and worship. Hallowed be your name. That is the attitude for coming before God. In our Ghanaian culture, when you're going before a king or a chief, there's a protocol for going before a chief. In the same way, when you're coming to God, there's a protocol for coming before God. You must come to God bringing him honor. You must come to God with an attitude and a heart of reverence, acknowledging him for what who he is. You know, many of us come to God as if God is our personal ATM. Those of us who have ATM cards, you know, debit cards, in some jurisdictions, credit cards, whatever it is. You know how you use the ATM, right? You want your money when you want it. You go to the machine, you slot in the card, you punch whatever amount you want, and you expect the money to divulge. You expect the machine to divulge the money for you. Vomit it there and then. And if the machine doesn't bring out the money, you get angry. Who has gone to an ATM and then you are requesting for money and it doesn't come? And worst of all, when it swallows your card. Why? Because the money is your money. You have put it in the bank and you want it as and when you want. So when you go, give me my money, you take it and you leave. And that is how most of us treat God. We come to God demanding what we think is ours. God is our personal ATM. Hallelujah. You don't approach God that way. You approach God in reverence and with worship. So that's one of the things you do during your quiet time. You never do your quiet time without worshiping God. You come to draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm. You are my desire. No one else will do. Cause nothing else can take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find a way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. So you come before God telling him that you're all I desire. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. This is the air. This is how you do your quiet time. I want to be where you are. Dwelling in your presence. Feasting on your table, surrounded by your glory, in your presence. That's where I always want to be. I just want to be. I just want to be with. And when you come before God worshiping, it opens up your spirit so that you can receive from God. So you do your quiet time by worship, then you Bible study. Joshua 1:8, James 1:25. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. And then he who looks into the perfect law of liberty. So the other activity you do during your quiet time is your Bible study. Someone say Bible study. And when you do your Bible study, what do you do? Number one, you read your Bible. You read your Bible. The passage we read says, he who looks into. You have to look into the word. Someone say, look into the word. Or tell your neighbor, look into the word. You cannot do your quiet time without looking into the word. Then number two, you have to memorize. You don't just read, you have to memorize. The passage says that in Joshua 1:8, it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, you must know it. So when you do your quiet time, you don't just read the Bible. You must memorize passages. Of course, you may not be able to memorize everything, but there are some key scriptures that you must memorize. In James 1:25, it says, if you look into it, you must not be a forgetful hearer. In other words, when you study the Bible, anytime you do your quiet time, you live with some memory verse in your head. Are you getting the gist of it? So ask yourself, have I been doing my quiet time? No, you are not supposed to say that out loud. It's just for you to assess. Because if you are doing your quiet time properly, it means that every time you must live with a passage. Every time. Then the next thing you do during your quiet time is, during the Bible study, is meditation. Someone say meditation. The Bible says you shall meditate in it day and night. Meditation. Meditation is the act of a quiet and attentive reflection on an idea or thought till we have understood all the dimensions of the thought and it becomes part of us. It sounds like a very long sentence. Sometimes you talk about meditation and people are wondering, what is meditation? I don't know how to meditate. In their mind, meditate means to meditate is to sit quiet and levitate. Because that's the idea they have received about meditation. Meditation means that something mystic must happen. Something supernatural must happen. Meditation is not levitation. Meditation simply means reflecting on an idea until it becomes part of you, until you have seen the various dimensions of it. So meditation actually is not difficult. When I was growing up, I was also in Sunday school, I always used to struggle with this meditation thing. How do you do it? How do you meditate? What does it mean to meditate? And it sounded so mystical to me, something that is so far off that I cannot do. But it's actually a very simple thing. As a matter of fact, everybody, all of you do it, because there are ideas you fixate on and you think through various dimensions of it. There are some of you here who have had crashes on people before. Three of us. Come on. It's me and you. You don't have to hide it. You have had crashes on people before. And there are times you are lying on your bed and you are thinking about how all the nice ways this person will approach you. You are just walking and then somebody comes from behind you and they cover your eyes. And when you remove their hand, it's that same person. And then your heart leaps a bit. You know what I'm talking about. And then you are imagining what they will tell you next. Jesus rose up from the dead so that I can give you these rules. Pass. Someone said, is your name David? Because you are a man after my own heart. Somebody said the reason Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines is because he never met you. And you see, you are thinking about all these nice things that they will say to you. And then the next thing they want to say is that, would you like to go to the movies with me? And you're lying on your bed, you're taking these things and you're smiling to yourself. And then you are thinking, and then he will say to me that I gave my 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish to Jesus to feed the multitudes because I want them to concentrate on feeding whilst I feed my eyes on you. Once you are thinking of all these things, then you are smiling to yourself. A And do you know what is happening? The thought of the person, the feeling you have for the person, keeps going deeper and deeper and deeper into your heart like the Red Sea. If Moses doesn't appear to part it, we are in trouble. But you see, you keep thinking all of these things, and what is happening is that the person's thought is becoming stronger in your heart and in your mind. That is how meditation works. So when you read the Bible and you study the Bible, and you are lying down and you are just going through the words that have just been imparted into your heart, into your mind, what is happening is that it is going into your spirit and it's becoming a seed that is sown and then becomes to bear fruit in your life. It's called meditation. Oh, if you are clapping, clapping is free. Clap. So you see how meditation works. Then whilst you are studying your Bible, the next thing to do is to make notes. You make notes. The Bible says you don't have to be a forgetful hearer. And one of the ways of not forgetting something is to write it down. So anytime you are studying your Bible and you learn something, you write it down. You make notes. If you don't want to forget what God is talking to you about, you write it down. When God was giving Moses the law, He wrote it down for him so that they don't forget it. And what are some of the things you write down during your Bible study? I'll give you hints. One, what new thing did I learn about my relationship with God and my relationship with my fellow man? Maybe you used to think that if somebody does something to you, you have to respond. And then you go and study your Bible, you do your quiet time. Jesus says, love your enemies, pray for those who hate you, do good to those who spitefully use you. He said, hey, Jesus, it means you have learned something new about how to relate with your fellow human being. So you write it down. What attitude does God want me to change? You write it down so that you don't forget. What direction is God giving me today? Anytime you do your quiet time, God will speak to you and give you a new direction. What promise of God is there for me to claim? The Bible, the Word of God, is full of promises. All right, so when you study it, you get promises. And then the next thing you do in your quiet time is prayer. Someone say prayer. We read in Mark 1:35 and Luke 5:16 that Jesus often read you to go and pray. All right, now when you read Psalm 64:1, this is what it says. It says, hear my voice, O God, in my meditation. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. What it means is that whenever you have your quiet time and meditate on the Word of God, your meditation will influence your heart onto prayer. It will provoke you to begin to pray. The psalmist said, hear my voice. Hear, God hearing our voice is our prayer. Okay? It says, in my meditation. So, anytime you meditate on God's word, God begins to speak to your spirit. And the natural response is that you begin to respond unto God. It's almost as if coming to church and then a preacher is preaching. And then just like this afternoon, the word hits your spirit and then you just start speaking in tongues or you just start praying. That's what happens during your quiet time. Whenever you feed your spirit with the word of God, the natural response is that you also speak to God. Because quiet time is a two-way affair, something between you and God. God will speak to you and you also speak to God. Hallelujah. So in your quiet time, you worship God. In your quiet time, you study your Bible. And in your quiet time, you pray. What do you pray about? Sometimes there's a sin to confess. You read the Bible, it exposes a flaw you have, you pray about it. Sometimes it's a trend to break. You see certain things happening in your life, in your family, around you, and you realize that the Bible has something to do, say about it, you pray about it. What is there to pray about? A promise, a blessing to claim. You've been struggling with addiction, and then you read that, who the Son sets free is free indeed. You want to stand on this word and begin to declare your freedom from addiction. These are things that happen during quiet time. Sometimes the prayer is intercession that you are making for other people. All right. Now, let's move on to why we must have our quiet time. Why must I have my quiet time? You must have your quiet time because, number one, God commands it. As children of God, if God commands something, you obey. It's as simple as that. There's no negotiation. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. It's a straight and direct command. Number two, we have our quiet time because God desires that we fellowship with Him. God desires that we fellowship with Him. In John chapter 15, verse 7, this is what Jesus said. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, what do you see over there? Connection. You see communion. We must connect to Jesus as He connects to us. All right? And the way we do that is when we continually have fellowship with Him in quiet time. Another reason we must have our quiet time is because we are weak people who need the all-powerful God. We are weak people who need the all-powerful God. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, the Bible says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whether we believe it or not, we are limited as human beings and we need God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, and present everywhere. We need a gracious God to show us grace. We need a merciful God to show us mercy. And in time of need, when we cannot help ourselves, we need to come to God. This is one of the reasons we have our quiet time daily. The Bible says when we come boldly before the throne of grace, we will obtain grace. Let me ask you this. If you need something so badly and somebody is there to help you get it, and the person says, come and see me, do you need extra motivation to go and see them? If you are going to write an exam, and there's a topic you are struggling with or a subject you are struggling with, and you know you are going to be examining on it, and someone says, oh, come, I'll make it simple for you, you know, do you need extra motivation to before you go and see them? No. In the same way, we need God. Someone say, I need God. Tell your neighbor you need God. And that is why you must have your quiet time. I need God, you need God. And that is why we must have our quiet time. And when we come before God, God gives us grace. The grace of God is the free gift of God. Something you cannot work for and something you cannot attain by yourself. And the mercy of God pardons us of what we deserve. The grace of God gives us what we do not deserve. The mercies of God takes away from us what we deserve. And that is why we must consistently and constantly connect to God. Someone say, I need you. Say, I need you, Father. The next reason we must have our quiet time is Jesus exemplified it. Jesus is God in the flesh. And yet, while He walked this earth, He exemplified quiet time. The Bible says it was His custom, His attitude. He will often withdraw to a lonely place so that He can have a personal time with God. Now, if Jesus, who is God and has become man, the Son of God, was always connecting to God, then you and I need to also emulate that lifestyle and always connect to God. Hallelujah. Someone say, I must have my quiet time. Preparing for quiet time. So what do I do if I want to have my quiet time? What do I do? Number one, you give God priority. Give God priority. Remember, quiet time is always about you and God. It's about coming before your God. And don't come to God as if He's an ATM. Give Him priority. Number two, have a special time. Have a special time. And this special time, usually, you have to wake up early. The passages we read, one says, now in the morning. So it gives us a specific time. And this other passage says, having risen a long while before daylight. So this is Jesus' example. He will always rise up before everybody else will wake up. Now, the reason you need a special time is that if you do not do your quiet time at a specific time, and you do your quiet time at different times, you will never be disciplined. Let me say that again. If you don't have a specific time when you do your quiet time and you open it up, you never ever be disciplined about your quiet time. And if it's something that you must do daily, something that God says do it daily, and you must do it daily, then you must be disciplined about it. We see Jesus' own example. He was disciplined about it. The Bible says every day before day will break, he will go to a solitary place to have time with God. You see, because if you think that you can have your quiet time anytime, then sometimes that's what people say, as for me, I have my quiet time anytime in the day. It doesn't matter. You can have it anytime. There's nothing wrong with reading the Bible or praying anytime in the day. But what is wrong with having your quiet time just at any time, sporadically in the day, is that you are never connected to God to receive endowment before your day begins. Secondly, you are never disciplined about your quiet time. Because you see, if you say, I'll do it when I have free time, and something else happens, and say, I'll do it later in the day. You keep pushing it, and then before you realize, you have missed your quiet time. Do I have some witnesses? Do I have some witnesses? Listen, you don't have to feel bad about it. Even me as a pastor, there have been times I've been corporate. Because sometimes the nature of our work, you can be working from your sleep with a need. When you have not planned your day to go in a certain way, by 3 a.m. you have to respond to some things. By 4 a.m. you have to say, I'll do my quiet time later. Before you realize the day will pass and you have not opened your Bible. And so you must determine that as for this time, it is for God. As for this time, it is what? As for this time, it is? As for this time, it is? Jesus had a specific time that was for God. And we must have that same attitude. And what is for God, you don't take and give it to anybody or any other thing. It's part of giving God priority. That's why it is called our quiet time. It is between us and God only. Number two, you must have a special place. You must have a special place. The Bible says he himself often withdrew into the wilderness. The NIV says he himself withdrew to a solitary place or a lonely place. And there was another part that says that he went to the Mount of Olives. That was his custom. Now, what I want you to note is that it says he did it often, which means this wilderness or solitary place was a special place for Jesus. Now, why did he do this? Please, we are not trying to say that make a fetish of a place and say that this place is a powerful place. This is where God is. So unless I do my quiet time here, God is not going to hear me or I'll not experience God. That's not what we are saying. All right? But the reason you need to have a special place is, number one, privacy. Someone say privacy. The reason Jesus went to a special place was because of privacy. Mark 1:35. Mark 1:35, can you put it up for me? Mark 1:35. This is very crucial. That's why I want to take time for us to. Okay. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Verse 36. Verse 36. Can we move? Pastor Wisdom said you are very fast. Simon and his companions went to look for him. Verse 37. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." They exclaimed what? Everyone. Can I tell you something? The time you want to spend with God, people are vying for your attention. You see, some time ago, people may be looking for attention, but they couldn't get it because you're alone. But these days, because of technology, you have your phone, you have the internet. Somebody who has chosen not to sleep will come looking for your attention. So that when you are supposed to have a private moment with God, bing, 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 bing. And you see, because you are also looking for validation, instead of looking for validation from God, remember last night before you went to bed, you posted a very nice picture on Instagram. And you know that people will be commenting and liking, people will be reacting to it. So you want to go and see who has said something nice. You say, sometimes you say, "Oh, let me just respond. You just this one message. I won't respond to anything again." Then you take your phone. You and I know for the next 1.5 hours. You and I know for the next 1.5 hours, for the next 2 hours. From Instagram to TikTok, from TikTok to WhatsApp, from WhatsApp to Facebook. What you have to understand is that people are constantly looking for you. Something wants your attention. Someone says, "Something wants my attention." Somebody wants your attention. And sometimes genuinely you say, "Oh, let me just respond to this call," and that is it. It's happened to me before. I'm a pastor. I get calls. And sometimes in my moment alone with God, I ignore. My phone is always on silent, by the way. But sometimes you see the phone flashing and say, "Oh, maybe this one may be an important one. Let me pick it." And then you pick it. Aziz. Aziz. Then they will start speaking some language we never heard before. And like, why did I even answer this call? And then sometimes you answer and then somebody will engage you in some conversation. By the time you finish, your spirit that was elevating has been brought down. Because people are always looking for your attention. The devil is always vying for your attention. So the attention you want to give to God, he wants it. And so you must make sure that anytime you're having your quiet time, you block every access because it is you and God alone. You said you are making room for two. I'll make room for. I'm making room for me and Jesus and Jessica. The moment Jessica starts calling, you forget Jesus. Like Peter. "Oh, Jesus, I'll die with you. Jesus, I'll never forget you." The moment you see a text from, and you see J, E, S, Jesus is not the first name that comes to your mind. Although you have seen J, E, S, the first name that comes to your mind is Jessica. So I say, "God have mercy." That is why you must create walls around you when you're having your quiet time. It must be a private activity. And the next reason you go for privacy is conduciveness. You must be in a place that is comfortable for you. Sometimes I ask people, "Oh, did you do your quiet time?" They say, "Yes." They say, "Oh, when did you do it? Where did you do it?" "Oh, as I know. And I woke up and I was in a hurry. So when I was sitting in the trotro, and then I..." You were sitting in trotro and you did your quiet. How How is church all supposed to be quiet? When you're hearing all the sex, yes, Kasia, powerhouse, rod vines, and you're hearing all of these things, and then you are laughing at people because the mate says sex instead of circle. You are laughing in your head. At the same time, you are paying attention to God. You need parazone to wash your mind. When you are doing your quiet time, it must be in a space. And that is why Jesus will always wake up before the day will break, because he doesn't want any interruptions. It is he and God alone. You see how important quiet time is. It is supposed to be quiet. Me and Jesus alone. Me and God alone. And so you do everything to ensure that there is no interruption. Hallelujah. Then the next thing you do in preparation for your quiet time is that you must be expectant. You must be expectant. Never expect that you do your quiet time and then something never changes. See, some of us, thank God we had good people to listen to. Like our general overseer. But I can tell you for a fact, one of the things that built us up and has brought us this far is because we were very dedicated and committed to our quiet time. Most of the things some of us learned, we learned them during our quiet time moments. Today, if I stand before you and I'm speaking to you, it's because my quiet time moments were my building blocks. Are you following me? So never take your quiet time for granted. It prepares you and makes you ready. Hallelujah. So you have to be expectant. Expect God to speak to you. Some say, oh, me, I don't know how to hear the voice of God. When we have the opportunity next time, I'll teach you on how to hear the voice of God. It's nothing mystical. It's very, very simple. Expect God to speak to you. And expect the power of God to touch you. Don't ever go before God not expecting anything to happen to you. Amen. All right, let me move quickly. So what tools do you use for your quiet time? What do you use for your quiet time? Number one, you need a Bible study. Sorry, a study Bible. You need a study Bible. It's good if you have an ordinary Bible. That's fine. But if it's possible, get a study Bible. It's very good if you can start knowing how to use a study Bible at this age. It will help you a lot as you grow up. You need a devotional guide. A devotional guide is a secondary Bible study tool you need, because essentially that is not the primary source. A devotional guide is somebody's commentary on what they have read. So it guides you, as the name is, it guides you. So it's not the primary thing. So if sometimes you don't know what to read, you don't know how to go about it, a devotional guide will help you. And then you need other Bible study tools, like a Bible dictionary, a concordance, commentary. Another time when we do a Bible study, I'll show you how to use all of these things. Bible study tools. You need a concordance, you need a commentary, you need Bible dictionary, you need Bible encyclopedia, you need Bible atlas. Bible atlas, yes. So that when you read, a man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, went down, you know how to interpret it, knowing the region of Jerusalem is a hilly place and Jericho lies below. And you don't go and say that some people are backsliding, that's why thieves will catch them and beat them. And I've seen pastors preach things like this. All right, so you need all of these things. You need interlinear Bible. When we talk about interlinear Bible, we are talking about Greek, Hebrew Bibles. You need these things. This is more for when you advance. But for now, you need the basic things. Then, when should I do my quiet time? When should I do my quiet time? These are some of the questions that we have our quiet time. Well, let me answer them quickly, then we go. The Bible says, this book of the Lord shall not depart from your mind. It says, but you shall meditate in it day and night. You shall meditate in it when? 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 So when do you do your quiet time? Number one, in the morning when you wake And number two, at night before you go to bed. So I say, hey. You thought you do your quiet time once. Let's look at Jesus' example. Jesus gave us an example. In the morning, Mark 1:35, he says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place where he prayed. Then let's look at his example in the evening. Luke 25, verse 37. The Bible says, and in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple. He was working. But at night, he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. So Jesus had a personal time with God, both in the morning and in the evening. Someone say, that may be a stretch. Even if you can't do the twice a day, you can't do morning and evening. One thing that you must do constantly and consistently is your morning quiet time. The mornings must always be constant. When we read Isaiah chapter 50 verse 4, this is what it says. It says, then the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens me when? He awakens me when? He awakens me when? I can't hear you. If you don't shout it, I won't stop. He awakens me when? Morning by. God wakes us up so that we may hear his voice. Your morning quiet time is very essential because you see, you cannot go on a journey without fueling your car. As Christians, we cannot go about our lives without connecting to our source of life. So if you want to have the most in life, you always connect to God first. And that is why the Bible says Jesus will always connect to God early in the morning. By the time he comes back during the day, he's dealing with issues as if they are nothing. He's dealing with issues. There was nothing that was ever insurmountable for Jesus. There was nothing that he couldn't handle. He was able to deal with every issue because he was always connected to heaven. He says, I do as I see my Father doing. Why? Because he's always connected to the Father. If you are not hearing from God, where are you hearing from and how are you living your life? This is why it's very important that in the morning, before you do any other thing, you must go and see your Father and see what he has for you. Someone say, I must go and see my Father. As children, before we go to school, we always wait on our parents to give us lunch money, snacks. Even if we don't do lunch money and snacks in our schools, they provide us all of those things. Our parents attend to them. We don't go to school on our own. We rely on our parents to be able to do what we have to do in school successfully. In the same way, we must know how to always connect to God. All right. So morning quiet time is very important. What do you avoid during your quiet time? What to avoid? Number one, distractions. What are some of the distractions? Distractions like going to bed late. I spoke earlier on about using your phone or your phone being close to you during your quiet time. They are all distractions. Going to bed late. You wake up late. You wake up tired. You don't have any desire and any strength to read your Bible. Some of these things, I'm not just talking to you, as if it's theory. I have lived them myself. There are times when I go to bed very late and the demands of my work, sometimes I go to bed very late. And I have a time I have to wake up. Sometimes I wake up so tired. So tired that it's difficult for me to even pray. And I have song list of worship that I listen to. Sometimes when I'm listening to them, it's difficult to connect because the body is not ready. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, and the earthen vessels can be crushed if we don't take care of them, so that they can't contain the treasure. It's very essential that you take care of your body, so that the body can take care, the spirit that is in the body can be taken care of. Amen. So you have to avoid distractions like going to bed late, using your phone, responding. By the way, one of the things, one of my pet peeves is that I'm reading my Bible and somebody is talking to me. No matter how much I love you, if I'm reading my Bible, leave me alone. If I'm reading my Bible, do what? Leave me alone. Anytime I'm doing something that is me and God, please, don't distract me. And you must have that same attitude. And people will respect you for it. People, there was one time somebody told me that, I can see Sundays are your best days. Because you see, the eagerness with which I want to go to, he said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house. And this was when I was an ordinary believer. I wasn't a pastor. The energy, the time I'll wake up, the time I'll spend doing my quiet time, praying, making sure I leave the house very early. And those days, I used to go to Christ Temple, and I lived at somewhere Awoshi. I used to board like 2 trotro before I'll get to Christ Temple. And you know the trotro drivers? Then they'll go and park in the middle of the road, as if they are going. So they won't park by the bus stop. They'll be in the road as if they are going, but they are not going. They are loading. And they say, oh, last two. Meanwhile, there are only 2 of us sitting in the car. And then there'll be delay. And I'll be furious. So sometimes to avoid all of this, I'll leave the house very early. This was all an effort just so that I could be in the presence of God. Because if I'm going to church, I don't want to be late. I don't want to miss a minute of being with God. In the same vein, if I have to do my quiet time, I don't want anything to distract me. So if you know there are things that can distract you from your intimacy with God, cut them off. Tell your neighbor, cut them off. You can finish and go and take them. You can go and take your phone and watch whatever channel you want to watch on Telegram or whatever, and laugh and do quack. Just finish your quiet time first. Hallelujah. So avoid distractions. Avoid limitations. Sometimes you feel you have committed a certain sin, so you feel bad to talk to God. The Bible says that we should come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. At that point is the time you have to run to God. Don't let sin limit you from going to God. Amen. Benefits of quiet time. Let's go through this quickly so that I'll close. You ask your questions, then we'll move on to the next segment. Benefits. Number one, we receive daily direction from God. Psalm 119 verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Anytime you engage the word of God, it makes your path clearer. You know how to deal with things in life. You know how to deal with certain issues in life. You know how to relate to people. You always receive wisdom anytime you engage the word of God. His word will show you how to handle life matters. How do you handle your friend who went to gossip about you? God's word will show you how to do it. He will show you how to handle specific situations. God's word will show you how to handle specific situations. The second benefit you derive from quiet time is that we receive daily strength from God. We receive daily strength from God. In Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31, the Bible says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those who wait upon the Lord shall. Those who wait upon the Lord shall. Those who wait upon the Lord shall. Listen, you may be strong, but you always have to refuel. The Bible says, does not say that those who wait upon the Lord shall receive strength. It says they shall renew their strength. We are all strong, but our strength gets dissipated along the line. And sometimes you have to go back to God. When you find yourself yielding to certain things that some time ago you didn't yield to, it means that there's something wrong in your life. Most of the time, it is easy to diagnose that you are not having your quiet time. You are not spending time with God. The kind of language that comes out of your mouth sometimes, it shows you are not having time with God. Because the more you have time with God, the more God gives you strength every day to know how to live. Sometimes you are depressed. Sometimes you are down in life. Sometimes you are just tired. You just don't know why you are tired. You are tired emotionally. You are tired psychologically. You are tired physically. You are tired spiritually. You are just tired. And you don't know what next to do. But you see, anytime you connect to God, there is strength that is released. You cannot connect to the presence of God and not receive strength. The Bible says that there are times of refreshing in the presence of God. In the presence of God, there is fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures evermore. When you are down, you find peace in God. When you are down, you find joy in God. That is why you always have to connect. Someone say, I must connect. And I pray for you, as you connect to God, may you receive strength. May you receive strength. May you receive strength. May you receive strength. Third one, we grow daily in Christ when we have our quiet time. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. What do we grow in? We grow in character. We grow in faith. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The more you hear the word of God, the more your faith grows. We grow in wisdom. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, that the word is able to make us wise. We grow in wisdom. There are certain questions that people ask me today, I can give them answers. Some time ago, if they had asked me those questions, I wouldn't have been able to provide an answer. It's just because you are always connecting. The Bible says, and from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which is able to make you wise. Every child of God must grow. Hallelujah. Every child of God must grow. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Everybody must grow. Someone say, I must grow. And the only way you can grow as a Christian every day, the only way you grow as a human being every day, is by eating solid food that gives you nutrients. When you were a baby, you used to take milk. As you began to grow, you transitioned from milk to solid food. And started with purees and porridges and so on and so forth. Then you started chewing, started eating the bangus and the fufus, and you are chewing goat milk. You say, oh, me, I like chicken bones. And you chew the chicken bones, you break it, and you chew goat meat and all of that. And all of that causes you to grow and be stronger. In the same way, as a child of God, you must commit to daily quiet time. You grow from being a babe. You are not going to need spiritual milk anymore. You are going to come to maturity and you'll be able to handle solid food. So that the things that used to toss you about when you were a baby in Christ, now you can handle them and you can go out there and be the light that God wants you to be and be the salt that you have called, God has called you to be. Somebody say, I'll grow in the Lord. And the way you do that is through your quiet time. God bless you. Any questions? Just three questions. Yes, there's someone in a hoodie. If you have a question, just come forward. Don't wait for me to call you. Come forward.
Thank you. Please, my question is, I want to find out, sometimes you'll be doing your quiet time and a thought will just drop in your head. Let's say, for instance, a thought will just come into your head. Hey, you just remember that you have a date with your girlfriend.
Thank you.
Then you start thinking about the things you need to wear. Then you just shift focus. Now, my second question is, will you recommend a hard copy Bible or a soft copy Bible as a new believer? Thank you.
The first one, you didn't finish the question. You just gave me a scenario, but what is the question? A thought drops into your mind.
How do you overcome and hijack in your mind when the enemy throws a thought?
Okay. So it's quite simple. You keep focused. And when the thought drops and you drift away, and the Holy Spirit prompts you and brings your mind back to what you are supposed to be doing, what you have to do is to drop the thought and focus on what you are doing. You may have drifted away, but it doesn't mean that your quiet time has ended. All right? So you get back to what you are doing and then you move on. Now, you asked about what I would prefer or what I will use. I will recommend a paper Bible. It's not a hard and fast rule. That is what I will recommend. Now, first of all, let me let you understand that the Bible as we have it now wasn't always like that in the form of the book. It wasn't always like that. At first, it was oral tradition that was passed on. And then at some point, it was printed. They had to copy them on what we call manuscripts, you know, from several rolls of parchments, all right? And then at some time when the printing press was invented and it was possible to put all the books together, they put it together and it became a Bible. Then today we have it on our phones, we have it on our tablets, and we have it on our computers. And sometimes people make it look like if you read your Bible from the paper Bible, you are more spiritual, all right? Than somebody else who is reading from their tablets or their computers. That is not true. It is only transition of technology. So some time ago, the most recent technology was the paper Bible. Somebody will also say that that kind of Bible is not spiritual based on the technology they were used to. You know, those times we used to read our Bible on parchment. It's all about technology. Now, the reason I recommend paper Bible is that I'm used to it, and it allows me to highlight and underline and make notes in it and also do the same in my notebook. The other side is that sometimes there are commentaries attached to them. Sometimes there's a little graph in there. There are several things that it comes with, so it's more comfortable using. And most importantly, it helps you avoid distraction. Because on your tablet, you have other things. When it comes to a paper Bible, it's just the Bible. But on a tablet or a phone, you have other things on there. And don't forget, everyone is looking for you. Like we read, a lot of things are vying for your attention. So if you know you are not one who is very much self-controlled, you have posted something on Instagram, and you get a notification that, oh, this person liked your photo. Looking at the person who has liked your photo, you have to check. And before you realize you have drifted away, that's why I would recommend the paper Bible. But whatever technology form you use to study your Bible, doesn't matter. Once you are focused on what you are doing, that's what matters.
Uncle, please lie.
Before I go on, let me also add, there are some people who also use audio Bibles. That's also not bad. But when it comes to quiet time, you know, the Bible, audio Bible is just reading and it's going. Sometimes you hear something, you need to pause and you need to reflect on it. There are times I can be studying my Bible. I say, I'm going to study this number of chapters within 2 hours. And I'll be on one verse for more than 2 hours because it's so packed and I'm unloading things. So sometimes when you use the audio Bible, it doesn't allow you a lot of freedom and time to reflect on what you are hearing. That's the disadvantage with it. All right. So it's something that you can listen to just so that you know the word. But if you really want to do proper meditation, I recommend the reading one. Thank you. Please go ahead. Yeah.
please, can you choose to have quiet time at any place?
At any place?
Yes.
Okay.
Like in the washroom or bathroom.
Oh, okay. Some people will say when you are sitting on a throne. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Because you see, essentially, your quiet time is a spiritual activity. And it's also something that you do in your privacy. And sometimes people find privacy in the washroom. That's why they have the time to themselves alone without any interruption. Because who is coming to talk to you when you are minding your business? And when you are minding your business, people don't like you minding your business because it comes with things that they don't like. So nobody is coming there. You understand what I'm saying? But sometimes too, this is purely on a personal basis. There are times I read my Bible in the washroom. Sometimes I go there, I'm not minding my business. I'm just minding the Bible. But you see, there are times too, you think about giving reverence to God. You want to do it in a hallowed environment. So that if it is an environment that even human beings don't want to come there, you're asking yourself, is this a nice place that I'm inviting God to? So that you can just mind your business, flash and be fine, allow the place to be okay, and then you engage God, all right? It's just all in the mind. It's just about preparing an environment that you think is hallowed for God to come into, okay? But essentially, quiet time is a spiritual activity. And the immediate physical surroundings does not matter much, provided it is conducive and private. Have I answered your question? Okay.
Uncle.
It would be nice to know your name. Is someone calling you? Yes, it would be nice to know your name. No, I mean you. You who have the microphone.
Ifua.
Ifua. Nice.
Uncle, please. Somewhere written in the Bible, I've forgotten the scripture. It says that, words shouldn't be taken from the Bible, neither more should be added. So when you say we should have a study Bible, and study Bibles, you know, they put things in brackets and then, have their own explanation. Does it mean that they are disobeying the Bible? Or?
That's a very intelligent question. So let me explain. What you are talking about, sometimes in the Bible, notes are added. Okay? Notes are added. And sometimes you have what we call commentary. Now, the commentary and the notes, they don't add to the original word that has been recorded. They only give light for you to understand what has been recorded. I hope you are following. So, for instance, let me give you an example. So, the Bible talks about the Good Samaritan, how the priest and the Levite bypassed the man who is hurt. And then the Good Samaritan came to help the man. Now, there may be commentary describing who a priest is, who a Levite is, what their duties are. Do you know who a Levite is? Do you know who a Levite is? Do you know who a priest is? Do you know who a Samaritan is? Do you know who a Samaritan is? But you have heard it many times, right? So, you see, the commentary will describe and give you the background context. Samaritans and Jews don't meet because Jewish people think that Samaritans are polluted species and they are not of God. Because somewhere let me not bore you with all of that. But it will explain so that when you read it, you understand why a priest whose duty is to ensure the well-being of the Jewish person, the person who is hurt, bypassed. The Levite bypassed, but the Samaritan who is supposed to be an enemy of the Jew is the one who took care of the person. So what Jesus is trying to teach you is that when it comes to the God kind of love, it doesn't matter the relationship you have. The person may be your enemy and you still have to show them love. All right? But without you reading, you just think that the Bible is saying that, oh, maybe another person came to pass, an Hausa person came to pass, but it's a calm man who came to help the person. But it's more than that. So that's what the commentary is that does. Having said that, there are Bible versions that add a lot of language to try to explain what is being said. For instance, you have the Message Bible, you have the Amplified Bible. Now, those Bibles, when you are using them, you use them mainly for emphasis, like the commentary I'm talking about. You don't use them for Bible study, because those ones, the translations are not from the original Bible that was written. The original Bible was written in Greek and Hebrew, and then it was translated into English. Now, there are types of translations. I don't want to confuse you, but you read NKJV, RSV, KJV. Those ones, they translate it directly. Then there are other ones that, like NIV. They translate it directly, but they try to make the language more modern so that when you read it, you understand. Then there is the Message, and then the Amplified. That one, they add a lot of words to try to paint a flowery picture for you to get it. They all have their purpose. They are not trying to disobey the Bible. They are just trying to use illustrations for you to understand the Bible. I hope you understand. Okay, so there are those who translate directly from the language that the Bible was originally written in. You use those ones, you read these ones just for emphasis. Okay, it is not the same as adding to it. Adding to it is when we come and add our own things to the Bible. For instance, let's say you read the Bible and they say that then they brought the offering to the apostles' feet. Then I come and stand here and say that the Bible says you have to bring the offering to the apostles' feet. So everybody, come and put your money here. It was the apostles' feet, so it means that the money is for the apostle. So when I finish, I carry all of you offering, tie it in a bag, put it on my shoulder, and I go and put it in my boot. What I have done is that I have added to the word of God. Because the monies they brought, they presented it to the apostle, but they brought it to God. The apostle received it on behalf of God for the work of God. So I don't take it away and say that they brought it to the apostle, so I carry it away. I hope you understand. So that is adding to it. It means that you are making the word of God your own word. It's no longer the word of God. Do you understand? All right. Thank you. Your name, please.
Please, my name is Flora.
Sorry?
Flora.
Clara?
No, Flora.
Flora?
Yes.
Okay. That's nice. You have a beautiful name. Please ask your question.
Please, you said that when you are doing your quiet time, it's with you and God. So what if you have a wife? So is it you with your wife and God?
So what if you have a what? A wife. Another very intelligent question. You are looking very far into the future. That's nice. So there are times you do group Bible studies. And when you do your quiet time or Bible study with your wife, it's a group thing. When you do it with your children, it's a group thing. When you come to church and you do Bible study in small groups, it's a group thing. And all of that is necessary and important. What it means is that you and your wife or your brother or your sister, whoever it is you are doing your quiet time with, you are learning the word of God together. There's a place for that. But when it comes to quiet time, it is you and God alone. So normally what we recommend is that if you have a wife and you do your Bible study with your wife, you also still need a time where you be with God alone. I hope you understand. Do you have brothers and sisters? Okay. So are there times that together you go to your daddy to talk to your daddy or your mommy? Okay. But then are there times too that you want to go to daddy alone? Just to be with daddy alone for some reason. So that's what quiet time is. It's when you want to be with daddy alone. And God wants us to be with him alone. Are you fine? God bless you, Flo. Okay. Thank you all very much. Before I hand over to Uncle Bijou, I want to pray for a few people. If you are here and then you know or you sense that you have the desire that God has called you as a preacher, as a teacher of the word of God, stand be, wherever you are, just stand on your feet. I want to pray for you. And some of you, God has called you as you have interest in apologetics. Just stand on your feet wherever you are. If you believe that God has called you as a preacher, just stand, be on your feet. Why is Derek? Today I had a number of young people corner me at dinner asking wild questions, and I loved it. It reminded me when Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus went to the temple at age 12 asking questions and giving answers. You know, just be on your feet. You see, God has put a microphone in your hand. Just lift your hands wherever you are. No, be bold, be confident. There's nothing to be shy of, to be afraid of. I wish I could touch you, but because of time, kindly place your hand on your head. Kindly place your hand on your head. Father, I pray for these ones that you have called. Your word says that even when Jeremiah was a youth, you knew him in his mother's womb, and you are called and ordained him as a prophet to the nations. As Paul told Timothy, you knew the Holy Scriptures from childhood, which is able to make you wise. I pray for these ones who have had a desire for your work, especially to hold the microphone, to preach your good news, to bring light to the world, to teach, to defend your gospel with reason and with faith and with understanding. I pray in the name of Jesus that may the gifts in them be stirred up. May the anointing upon their lives be stirred up. May they not lose their way in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that may you order their steps into that which you have called them to do. Father, for the sake of these ones that you have called, may an Ethiopian eunuch somewhere gain understanding to the scriptures and bring them to salvation. May you bring them to into access of people of repute, influence, authority, and power, that they will speak into their lives, and that these people's mindsets and worldviews will change and they will influence the world. Father, from the least to the greatest, let these ones have impact wherever they go. Let them have impact wherever they go. And when they speak, may they speak your word with authority and with power. May your word that comes out of their mouth bring light, bring illumination, bring understanding, bring salvation, bring deliverance in the name of Jesus. When they teach, may they not teach like the scribes, but may they teach with authority in the name of Jesus. Preserve their lives, O God. Preserve their lives, O God. May the enemy not have his way with them in the name of Jesus. May they fight the good fight of faith as your soldiers, Lord. Teach them how to soldier on as they have put their hand to their plow, Lord. Teach them not to look back. No matter how slippery the way may become, we pray that you sustain them by your grace, by your spirit, and by the word of your power. May they fulfill the assignment you have given them in life. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together for God.
We hope you are blessed by this message. Follow us on our social media handles in the description below for more updates on our services and activities. Stay blessed.